Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Jess, and as always, thank you so much for being here with me. Thank you so much for tuning in and diving in to all things business, branding, leadership, making money, making a difference, as we do on this show in the New Earth Hustle vibration, and all things spiritual, the magic, the divine, the woo-woo, as I like to not say, because that's a word that I feel diminishes what it means to be an awake, remembered light worker woman on this planet at this time. Can I get a hell yes for the people in the back? Okay, this show is where we stand in it all. And I'm just so grateful that you show up every week for me. If you're new, welcome. Hi, I'm so happy you're here. If you're not new, welcome back. You know the drill. I share weekly unlock episodes. I bring you weekly interviews. And this is really more than a podcast. It's such a gorgeous, beautiful global community that you are a part of. And I want to thank you for subscribing to the show. And if you haven't done that yet already, please go ahead and do that right now so you never miss one of our amazing, amazing episodes. If you have left a review, thank you so much for taking a few seconds out of your precious time to leave us 5 stars, a couple sentences on Apple Podcasts. It really helps the show grow. Come subscribe over on YouTube, watch us in the flesh, hear our incredible conversations as you watch them, check out our cute outfits, the moments of connection on camera, and share this podcast with a friend, or share it on social media and tag me, and I will come find you and I'll come follow you back and really just get to know you even more, because this is my whole why, is building a community of lightworker women who lift each other up, who do business in a different energy, the feminine energy, and that's not some cute Instagram meme, but actually the real reality that we are co-creating here as women in their power. And so I want to tell you a very quick story before we get into today's guest, because my guest today is unbelievable. And I'm somebody that I've been waiting to meet in person for like years. This is a girl that I've been crushing on and obsessed with through the ether for, I don't know, years and years. And you know, when you meet somebody in person and you're like, you're even more epic in person. And I didn't even think that would be possible, and how that just expands your heart and makes you feel so grateful to be alive. Like, that's how I felt when I met my guest today. But before I get into who she is and her story and what to expect in today's conversation, I just want to take you back actually to a moment in my trajectory. If you've been following me, you know that I've been an entrepreneur for 18 years. I've built 3 businesses. I sold one of them. I've been through many deaths and many rebirths. And one of my biggest deaths, in fact, my greatest death aside from Egypt, if you've been listening to my show for a while, you know that that was really the biggest transformation of my life in 22. But back in 2014, I had a full-on nervous breakdown. I was running my first company, Cheeky Chicago. I was recovering from a horrible surgery because I had an autoimmune disorder and I needed surgery on my sinuses. And I was bedridden for like 2 months, about to like go crazy. And I actually did go crazy because I was so perpetually addicted to productivity and I couldn't stand the feeling of sitting still. And so one day I was like stir crazy in my apartment. I was just well enough to be able to like take a walk and go outside. It was a beautiful afternoon in May. I'll never forget this. And I walked myself to a little park right by my apartment at the time. And I sat down on the grass and I broke down crying. And I looked down because I was like, my face was in my palms crying. And I saw on my right wrist for the first time a tattoo. Now, I had had this tattoo for years, but this was the first time I actually saw it. And it said the words, "Simply Be." It's still right here on my right wrist. And it was in that moment that I heard a voice. Now, you could call it my higher self. You could call it spirit. You could call it an angel. You could call it a guide. But it was a voice. And it was a very clear, distinct, specific voice that told me that I was going to soon leave my situation and one day start my next thing on my own, because I had a business partner in this previous business and I was really ready to move on, but I was terrified and I didn't know what I was going to do next. And I was still addicted to the identity of that business. And that voice said to me so clearly that you're going to leave what you're doing now and go start something new. And you're going to call it Simply Be. And it's going to be wildly successful because you'll root that business in your own truth. So name it Simply Be as a reminder of that. That's what that voice said to me. And that voice led me pretty much here, sitting in my home, recording this podcast. Over the last decade since that moment on that tiny little patch of grass, when I heard spirit speak to me for the first time, like really heard it. And I have been listening to that voice or all of those voices or the collection of voices ever since. And I share that story with you because I want you to know, as my guest will tell us today, that everyone has this ability. Everyone has access to other dimensions, angels, ascended masters, spirit guides, ancestors, all sorts of beings that we cannot see, but we can feel or hear or have sensations around, or maybe some of us can indeed see them. And Nicole Bigley, who's known as an angelic psychic and host of A Psychic Story, which is the number one spiritual and number two psychic podcast in the world. She gets millions of downloads every year and has listeners from every single continent. She has stepped into her highest timeline as a world-renowned angel expert. Yep, she's an angel expert. She's a psychic, she's an energy healer, and she is really here to help everyday people like you and I deepen their spiritual connection, develop intuition, and really align with their life's purpose. And when you do the work of attuning your own psychic abilities, you do align your life with your highest purpose, just as I did unknowingly when I listened to spirit, when I heard spirit all of those years ago. And I share that story on purpose because I wanted it to be a real through line of what's possible for all of us when it comes to our businesses, our success, our impact, our empowerment, when we trust that we are all psychic. Now, Nicole is not only a podcaster, an entrepreneur, a retreat host. She just took a group of women to Egypt. She's also an author. And she launched her book a little while back called Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, which became an instant bestseller and award winner, which was really honestly praised for making these complex spiritual concepts, which feel so far away from most of us, into accessible, practical tools for everyday life. You're going to get a big taste of that in our conversation today. So Nicole is a sister. Like I said, meeting her was like, I just felt like I probably have known her for lifetimes and we've only been friends through Instagram. But when I met her in person, it was clear that I've known her for lifetimes. And if you watch us on YouTube, you'll get a sense of that connection. I'm leaving a link to her podcast, her book, where to find her on social media, on A Psychic Story, and just stay open not just in today's conversation, but every day. Because you never know that what you might hear, see, feel, that maybe the rest of the world can't, could change the course of your entire life. All right, without further ado, here is my amazing conversation with the incredible Nicole Bigley.
Nicole, thank you so much for coming onto the Spiritual Hustler podcast, babe. I'm so happy you're here in the flesh. It's so good to be with you.
Thank you for having me. I was so honored when you reached out. Truly a deep honor.
Oh my God. Well, I feel like we have a sister code and we see one another so clearly, and it feels really good to be seen.
Yes.
And you've been seeing me and I've been seeing you for years.
Yeah, years now.
Years now.
Can't believe. And seeing you in person, it's surreal.
It's surreal. Yeah. I walked down out in my kitchen. I was like, you're real.
You're a real person.
You're a real person. Isn't it the best?
It is.
It's what I love so much about podcasting, to be honest, is like the real connections you make.
The community.
The community. Yeah, the relationships. So good. I am so inspired by you on so many levels.
You.
Professionally, personally, spiritually. Before we get into all of the things I want to dive into, I know you know the essence of my show, what it means to be a spiritual hustler. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you my first question, which is, what are you spiritually hustling for right now,
Nicole? Ooh, I got a download on my way here.
Tell me.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
And because I was thinking about this, you know, we hustle for so much.
Yep.
But what is, because I knew you were going to ask this question. I do listen to your podcast. And I received from my guides and angels, my spirit team, it's really to help people remember their connection to the divine, that we're always connected. But through that, we have this spiritual bill of rights. People don't necessarily always know that we have these universal rights as these beings, as these energy beings. And through that divine connection, one of the ways through is through psychic and our intuitive abilities. And it gets a bad rap where people don't think they're psychic. And so that's really what had me start the podcast and all the other things that I'm doing. And so, yeah, I would say remembering and knowing that we're always connected to the divine.
Let's go. Okay. The perfect segue action to one of the very first things I wanted to ask you about, because I know, like you say that, like everyone is psychic. Mm-hmm. And that is something I too believe, but I'll just speak for myself. But sometimes I'm like, I'm not as open and gifted as she is. So I'm not, am I a psychic? Do I really have that gift? Do I not? And I want to hear your story of how this came online for you and why you believe that about everybody.
Sure. So there's this beautiful moment. I was about 4 years old and my dad was putting me to bed. And when he was putting me to bed, he said something like, you know, he's tucking me in and he said, Nicole, you know, when you come here, we pick our family. We don't just have a soul family. We pick our family. And I looked at him dead in the eyes as, you know, he's tucking me in. And I said, I know. And then the look on his face, I'll never forget it. And he said, what do you mean? Tell me more. And it was this memory, although it wasn't really a memory. It was just almost like as if I had been there the day previously. Wow. I was in the stars and it would be like if we were in space and I was looking down to Earth. And I remember I felt this essence behind me and I was looking at my mom. She was a little girl and she was playing in the yard. And I said, I want her to be my mom. And I went to step forward. I didn't have a body. But as I went to step forward, I heard this voice go, not yet, it's not time. So I went to turn around. And by the time I went to turn around, I heard it's time. And I'm just zooming down from the cosmos. I'm zooming down to Earth. And I'm in this womb. And then I remember being born. And that's a whole nother thing. But the next morning, my mom said, so your dad tells me that you told him a story. Tell me about it. So I repeated that exactly to her. So to answer your question, I never thought that people, as I was growing up, that people didn't have that memory. I thought that it was something that everyone had experienced, but that connection to, let's call it source, never went away. I always felt it as a child and it was something that was guiding me. So I feel like I was so blessed with that, that it's part of my mission or my purpose to help people remember that and feel that.
And you're walking that in such a big way, by the way. Congrats on your podcast.
Thank you.
Your platform. It's amazing. We'll get into that. But back to this innate gift and knowing and perspective. Like I get it. Like, I don't know. I'm a really kind person. And I'm like, why isn't everybody kind? You know, like it's just so innate to you that and confusing. Like, why would someone be an asshole? And you're like, I would assume that this is so real for me and so natural and clear that everyone can access this. And I do too believe that. Mm-hmm. I think things get in the way, or we're just in a certain circumstance and journey in our lives where we have to unlearn certain things to relearn who we really are, right? And remember that truth. So as you do your own work today, I mean, I would love for you to kind of crack into how the everyday person can start to commune with spirit, channel, we've all heard that word, their guides, mm-hmm. connect to the angelic realm. Like, what does that look like in practice?
Yeah, so the first thing is really, I say, and I we can talk about the clairs, but I don't want to get super deep on it. Just like we can physically feel, we feel things emotionally with our actual human essence. We see, we taste, we smell. We have a mirror energetically, spiritually to that, but it's often very subtle. And we don't think that it's something that either everyone has or that we really have access to it. Gut intuition is another one that really, really have. So the first step is to think about how you prefer to communicate in everyday life. So if you're a visual learner, if you prefer more sound, if you tend to be more sensitive to sounds, all those sorts of things, those tend to be the things that are going to surface up when it comes to your psychic or your intuitive ability. And then the other thing is, as I was driving here, I was like, I knew you were going to ask me this question too, but my guides and angels were like, think about Mozart or Beethoven. They came here and they're pretty much savants. You know, they immediately knew how to play the piano. I'm never going to be a Beethoven, you know, necessarily when it comes to the piano. But if I sat down and I really practiced and tried, then I'm probably going to be able to play chopsticks or something. But it's also because I have ears, I have my fingers, I can learn, I can do that. And so if you think about it as a natural ability or something that we have access to, that's really the first step, but being aware of how it may show up for you. Yeah. And once you have that awareness, it's really about nurturing it and using it in the moment when it happens. So
give me an example.
I was just going
to
say.
Yeah, sorry. I'm so excited.
Think about if you're at the grocery store and you're like, I'm going to get a carton of eggs. And you think to yourself, oh, I just have one at home. I'm not going to buy a carton of eggs. Why do I need to get one? And you go home and you realize they're expired. And you're like, ah, I should have gotten that carton of eggs. In that instance, it's probably someone who has a really good sense of gut intuition and it guides you all the time. And you don't realize it's guiding you all the time, but you think it's got to be some big, big thing. And when you discount it or you're not realizing it in that moment that it's happening, then it shuts it down. And it shuts it down and it shuts it down.
Fascinating. Okay. So I have always felt that I'm clairaudient.
Mm-hmm.
Like I hear messages and I, as you were talking, like I love listening to music. I love listening to podcasts. I love listening to audiobooks. Like I am a talker. I have like just a deep connection to conversation and sound. And sometimes, okay, I really love your advice about this, that I will sit at my altar. And I believe that we'll get to angels and beings mm-hmm. in a second, but I feel like I know that if I am not explicit in asking them to come in, like it's an invitation, a conversation, they come in more strongly when you say, I am open.
Absolutely.
I am looking for guidance. I have a question. Can you share with me what I need to know, whatever it is. And sometimes I hear something and I question if it's me
mm-hmm.
or if it's real. Mm-hmm. And I've honed this gift, but it's a fun practice, but I'm still not 100% confident in myself. And so do you have, and I think I would maybe connect it to my gut, my own intuition, because I can relate to that egg story. Mm-hmm. That happens to me all the time. And it's a two-part question, actually. When we are having those nudges from a gut intuitive perspective, is that us or is that the angels and guides trying to communicate to us?
Think of your intuition as the channel.
Okay.
And the channel can receive from your higher self and from you. It can receive from intergalactic beings. It can receive from angels, your loved ones, your pets that are living or on the other side. It can be anything. So your intuition is that channel. That's why I say if you better understand your intuitive abilities, then you're better able to connect with source, with the divine, with your loved ones, with your angels, your guides, your intergalactic friends.
Which we'll talk about too.
Yes.
So back to, because I've had conversations with people about this as well. And I'm sure my community listening is like, if I ask a question or if I try to hone my hearing in that way, Because I think to get into the clairs, like to see is a whole other thing. But how do you really check in and know that you're not making it up?
So the first thing is when you do, and your brain and the logic and the programming that we have kind of cuts in and says, you know, that is for you to be grateful for that moment to say, oh, I'm questioning this. And with that gratitude, it opens you back up is the first step. The other is that I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe in anything like that. So it's coming from somewhere. Call it your ego, your intuition, your guides and angels. It's you or it's something else. And so paying attention helps you really further ground and amplify that energy, which is why I say that awareness piece is so important when you are maybe questioning in that moment. And the more you start to remove the questioning and you begin to trust, I know it sounds so simple, but that's really as simple as it is.
Yeah.
That's when you really become aligned and connected to yourself and to source and the divine and centered, and things start to go and flow and your other abilities come online. I've explained to my community that if you think of your intuitive abilities like a ball of yarn and each piece is a different thread and it's a color and it's an ability, they're all still connected. So often, again, where people get in their head is when you said the gut intuition, you may hear something and then also feel in the gut, or get the gut and then hear it in your head, or there may be a thought. And when that happens, it's because they're working together like a heartbeat. And so it's amazing to me, I guess, again, coming from the other side and having it to that extent where I still don't understand why people continue to question. I get it, but I also don't get it because it's as simple as trusting.
So well said. So beautiful. Thank you for that. So helpful.
Sure.
Spirit teams.
Yes.
We hear that term thrown out around a lot.
Uh-huh. Very trendy.
Very trendy. And as is this whole conversation, which is why I love you. You're so grounded around it. So grounded. There's nothing, can I just reflect to you? There's nothing performative about what you do.
Thanks.
It's embodied. You know, it's of service. I just wanted to acknowledge that. I believe in spirit teams. I have one. I've seen them in certain breathwork journeys and visions. I know that they're there cognitively. So let's make this not about me because I have so many questions, but what is a spirit team? How do we know who they are? And how do we stay connected to them?
Well, we have our soul family, which we can talk about later if you want. We have our blood family and our relatives that I believe choose to come here to have. And then we have our spirit team because we're not meant to be alone through this spiritual life and journey. And I know you say this too, but as spiritual beings having this human existence, we need a whole lot of support.
We sure fucking do.
Especially nowadays,
yeah,
you know, with everything that's happening.
Uh-huh.
And so I, again, as a little girl, thought everyone had this connection, but Archangel Michael, I didn't know until I got older that Archangel Michael was on my spirit team. And when I finally, fast forwarding, went through my Reiki attunement, I was seeing a whole lot of angels and other things. And so I asked them and I said, well, can you explain this to me? Because I really had more of an angelic connection. And they said that your spirit teams are massive. Our spirit teams, again, can consist of our loved ones, our intergalactic friends, celestial beings, all the things. And when you are trying to discern and understand, it's really about, all right, does a certain god or goddess resonate with me? Does a certain angel or a saint resonate with me? Does nature, Mother Earth, resonate with me? If we're feeling that call, chances are they're stepping forward. They're stepping forward to help us in some way, shape, or form. A lot of people think, oh, maybe I have a guardian angel or two, but it's bigger than that.
I mean, I can vouch again. I did a breathwork journey. It's 2017 or 18, long time ago. It was called The Breath of One. It was one of my first holotropic breathwork experiences. And I've done the plant medicines and the psychedelics. We're talking about that. That journey was psychedelic on many levels. And what I saw was my entire spirit team, and they were sitting in a semicircle.
That's how they show up for me.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's get real. What's the energy in your home saying about you? I believe that the way we design our spaces is a reflection of how deeply we honor ourselves. And that's why I am so excited about my partnership with California Closets of Nashville. Their motto, I'm obsessed, dream bigger.
And that's exactly what they help me to do, not just in my home, but how I see myself every single day. Their team helped me reimagine my space from the inside out. It's the closet I never knew I needed, with custom touches that feel like they were plucked right out of my soul, down to a dedicated space for my sage and card decks, okay? Imagine waking up and walking into a space that makes you feel held, supported, organized, elevated, a place where your morning routine becomes a sacred ritual, not a chaotic scramble. When your outer world aligns with your inner world, that's when magic happens. So if you're in the Nashville area, this is your invitation. Visit the link in the show notes and book your free design consultation today. Yep, it's free. Dream bigger, sisters. And when you do, you live deeper.
And it was almost like a council, right? Like a council. And I couldn't specify them except for one, which was my grandfather. I saw his face and I saw his hand, and he had cut himself when he was young in a carpentry accident. He didn't have a finger. So I saw his like hand with his missing finger. So but I couldn't distinguish the rest. And I'd love to know your perspective on, I've heard they change, or are they like sort of your team for life?
Yeah. So it's been explained to me from my guides and angels that when we come here, we contract with guardian angels. Our guardian angels, because we have free will and choice, come with us. It's like, hey, Jess, we did really great in that lifetime. I want you to still be on my team, kind of thing. And so they don't bypass your free will, because they're always around. They're always by your side and they're here to help. And you can have one up to a number of them. And then when it comes to other types of spirit team members, like angels, ascended masters, saints, again, Pleiadians, those sort of things, yeah, they need our free will and permission. So when you were talking about giving an intention or inviting them in, because they all have representation of certain expertise or skill sets or certain things. So to your question about do they come and go, it's kind of like a game of tag, you're it. So if you're going through a really hard time in your life with a relationship or with your finances, or you're trying to hold space for someone else and they're going through something that they need help with, your spirit team collectively, one or two or several, will step in to help you. Mm. And they'll give you signs and they'll give you knowings or certain things to get your attention. But then it's up to you to say, yes, I want that help. Yes, I want that support.
Wow. Okay. So can I ask you, as you have clearly so honed your connection and your gifts, and I am sure you know exactly who's on your spirit team.
I don't even know all of them.
But you know some of them.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
What does your spiritual hygiene look like, Nicole? Like, what is your meditation practice? Like, what does your, I mean, maybe it's just in the way you live and you're so coded at this point that it's just everywhere, but have you had to channel, get clear, get still? Like, what advice do you have to someone that's looking to starting to cultivate this within themselves? Yes.
This goes back to the intuition too. So the first thing I do before I even get out of bed in the morning, I know there's all different kinds of studies of you should jump right out of bed. My guides and angels were like, nope. So I stay in bed and I tune into my energy and I start to look into how am I feeling emotionally, how am I feeling mentally, how am I feeling physically, and then what I call spiritually that wrapper. I think of it like Russian nesting dolls kind of thing, or energies like that. And when I do that, sometimes I may wake up and feel really clear-headed, or I may feel really happy, or I may be in a bad mood and I don't know why I'm in a bad mood, even though I had a really great night and I slept well and the day is looking great and ahead of me. And what that does is that gives you a baseline of how you are showing up for your own self that day and maybe intuitively what might be coming in. And when you do that, then you go through the moments in the day. I know it's busy. We have lives, so we can't always be paying attention. Was that a sign? Was that an intuitive hit? But as you start to evolve and pay attention, something may shift. So the example of, you know, maybe you woke up really peaceful and joyful in the morning, and then later on, nothing happens. No one cuts you off in traffic or what have you, and then you just are instantly in a bad mood or you're feeling anxious. Well, what happened? Something happened. Our intuition's like a smoke alarm that's being set off. And when that happens, that's your opportunity to say, okay, is this mine? Is this someone else's? Is it something else's? Wow. And then you have the opportunity then to either release it or dig in a little bit further. And that's the unpacking that, again, also helps you grow your intuition and also how our spirit team will try and connect and get us signs.
Do you see them, like, physically? You see their shapes, colors?
Occasionally, I will see them with my physical eye. I have more clairvoyance in my mind's eye. Mm-hmm. And so when you said the semicircle, when I started doing this professionally to help, well, it was really when I was younger, but also when professionally, I asked them, I said, I need you to line up. It's like a lineup. And they'll stand in a U behind someone, not because that's where they stand all the time, but I'll see them in my mind's eye as light beings. And where they stand is representative of who and what they are. Mm. And then I feel into the energy, just like someone feels human and your pets feel like animals, angels feel like angels. There's an energy sense to it. I do see sparkles of light on occasion, and I'll see flashes. And when that happens, it's definitely the angels that I see.
So many questions about angels, which we're going to get to. I actually would love to get your perspective on this time in consciousness. Like, I often say that we're living at an inflection point, and it's an exciting time to be alive. It's a lot. And there's this awakening and remembering that is happening. And I don't know if you've maybe gotten guidance from your guides or have tuned into why or what is this really all about? Why at this scale are we having this conversation around so much light with so much dark and polarity at the same time? I'm just so curious to get your thoughts on that.
So my belief, or what I've been shown, and I'm sure you probably, and most of your listeners do too, time's not linear. So there's that. And that always blows my mind when you think about it. And so we can be living these alternate lives, having many different experiences depending on where we are in our journey and what decisions we make and other people's decisions. And so when you think about when your question says, why this time? I was shown that this is the first time in human nature where we are able to live in a more modern day society and world and remember, again, where we came from, be consciously connected to the divine, and we have an opportunity to turn everything around. Mm-hmm. And when we are embracing our own unique resonance, because I think of it as our soul's fingerprint, or they called it our spiritual DNA, when we embrace that and that ripple effect is out, then we have the opportunity to change the world. And so even though it's hard out there and it's heavy out there and it's really important, this is not spiritual bypassing. This is about noticing your own power within and how connected you are to everything and everyone.
It's so good. I talk all the time about sovereignty, you know, and how that is really our highest code as human beings, having a spiritual experience that has been sort of stripped away from us unconsciously through the matrix, for lack of a better term, since the patriarchy. And it's just continued to manifest in all of these distorted ways when it comes to our health and our success and our joy and our relationships. And there's sort of this fever pitch, I feel like it's reached. And I agree with you. Time is not linear. I believe it is infinite and multidimensional. I also believe it's cyclical.
Yes.
And I think that we're coming into a turn of the wheel that was sort of always destined. Like, I think
like a tipping point.
Tipping point. Yeah. And I think, this is where we're going to go real galactic. I think Earth's assignment was to call in all these star beings to go through the polarity of light and shadow, love and fear, to evolve and forget itself in order to remember itself.
Yes. I have two things to add to that. The first is, absolutely. I agree with that 1,000%. And they explained to me, again, they be my spirit team, that Earth is the most emotional planet. It's like the heart chakra of the galaxy. So when we come here as, again, these spiritual beings to have a human experience, there's three things, really. Everyone has a purpose. We have many purposes, but the three things are, one, to be these spiritual beings and have a human experience. Two is to be human in all of it and experience the ups and downs, but to stay as much in resonance within that unconditional love and peace as possible, because we have all these ups and downs. So again, Earth is this emotional body embodiment, and there's lines of souls trying to come in here, which you would be like, really?
Yeah, right.
But true. And then the third is that it's to create. That's our purpose and why our purpose is multifold. And so when you're a creator, and my guides and angels have said, you have this beautiful opportunity. There's things we can't do on the other side, but as a human, you can create music, you can create art, you can create families. You can have all of these things. And I think that's where we can get disconnected sometimes, is like, what did I come here to do? And what is that tipping point? So when you say, what is that, you know, why is all of this happening right now at this moment in time? It's because we are at that collective tipping point of, I know people keep saying it, but that great awakening and that consciousness.
It's so true. I actually believe we incarnated, like, women like you and me, and the women listening to my podcast, because I often say you wouldn't be here if you didn't already, you know, vibrate with this resonance, came here for this moment and to be leaders of this moment and to create communities around this moment and lead. You know, we all have to lead. We all get to lead, but we all have to lead. And at least that's my view. And you have really led your own community so beautifully. And I know we're here talking all things psychic and magic and spirit realm, but you're a badass entrepreneur. And I would really love for you to share about your model. I know you just took a community to Egypt. You've got your podcast. Like, you created like an expression of Nicole and are making money doing it. And it's really inspiring. And if you could kind of take us through that path, I think my community would be so moved by it.
Yes, I'd be honored to do that. Well, 6 years ago, actually, because the podcast anniversary was June of this year.
Congrats.
Thank you. I was laying in bed. I had had everything that I wanted. I had the house. I had the friends. I had the job. I had all the things. And I heard someone say once that it's not about, sometimes our dark night of the soul isn't always when we're down. Mm. It also could be when we're on the top of the world. And we get there and we realize, this is it. I'm still not happy, or there's like something missing. And then what's wrong with me? So every night for 7 months, and that's key, seven. I feel like seven's a big number for some people.
Number. Yeah.
And I would pray and I would say, what am I missing? And my intuition was just off. I wasn't getting it. And I heard, start a podcast. And it was like 3 a.m. or something like that. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Like, start a podcast. One, I know nothing about that. They were popular, but they weren't what they are now. I was busy and I'm like, that's the answer from like source, like start a podcast, please. So I put a pin in that, and the next morning I really dug into it. And I say all that because the thing that I heard was creating community, creating connection. It's about understanding people's stories so that they're not alone. And it was never something for me to monetize it or to make money from it. Up until this day, I still take money out of my own pocket to put into the podcast.
Right.
But about 2 years ago, my guides and angels kept saying, it's time. You need to leave corporate and you need to do this full time. And there was that fear of, I don't make money off of this now. How am I going to? And it was not about the money part of it. It was really more, they said, this is needed. And they showed me this bigger vision. And we can talk offline about that. But they showed me this bigger vision of the why behind it. And that also so many people were hurting. And so I just decided to take that leap of faith. And I turned in my notice because I had a friend that said, you don't quit. So she was right. I do not quit. I turned in my notice.
I love that.
Yeah. And I followed what I was getting intuitively as far as what it would look like. And that is a membership for people to really be able to connect online, not through Facebook necessarily and just live calls, but starting to create one central place. But it wasn't as much for the practitioners as much as it's for the individuals, because I think that's missing. I get people all the time that say, I would love to know about a Mexican shaman, or I need to know somebody who's going through this in my life. How does that look? What does that look like? And so this is that community to be able to pull that together for everyone.
Wow. And you just took some of your community to Egypt.
I did. Yes.
On your own pilgrimage.
I did. That was a whole nother story. I knew I wanted to do retreats pretty much from you and Megan.
Really?
Because Megan had reached out. I know that everyone knows listening. Your BFF.
My twin flame.
Yes. And so we were wanting to go on one. And anyway, I started looking and thinking, all right, not all the time. I don't want my business to be solely about retreats or pilgrimages. And fast forward, I heard Egypt and I'm thinking, that's going to be years down the line. And there was someone who had already put together an itinerary and it happened to work out and they weren't able to get people to go for like 2 years. And I said, I can put it on my podcast and talk about it. And within a couple months, we had 15 people that were going and said yes to the call. And it was intense.
I'm sure it was.
But for not just me, but for everybody on the trip.
It'll fuck you up.
In all the good ways.
Egypt fucks your life in the best kind of way.
It does. And so, yeah. And I'm the type of person, I'm sure you're probably like this too. I can kind of intuit and pick up on that. I kind of bite off more than I can chew sometimes.
All the time, girl.
Oh, I can do that. That's not going to be so hard. And so I thought, I was the first person going, are you sure? Egypt's the first one. Can't we go like Sedona or something?
Right.
And they said, no, it's like all, it's time. It's literally time for you to go. And these people too. So we went, we had an amazing time. But yes, and I want to eventually do that more in the future, but really supporting other people that do these retreats and pilgrimages and see how that can also be worked into the community. Because like we were talking about before we hit record, there's something about seeing someone in person versus having the screen. You know, yes. Nothing can combat.
Nothing beats it. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel on the other side of Egypt?
I mean, I loved the experience. I went, the first time I went, it was a true tourist trip and I went scuba diving in the Red Sea and I went to all the places, but it was not what this was. This one, I really surrendered and I stayed open. And when I got back, I had for about 2 days this entire energetic purge, which I was also not expecting. You'd think a psychic would, but it was really beautiful because the moment my feet hit America again, I remember feeling the energy of obviously Egypt being very different and America. And I could sense all of the changes that even happened when I was gone and everything in that strength. And then the moment my head hit the pillow, it was just this energetic purge. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even sure what was really happening in that moment. And then on the other side of it, I feel really renewed, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I get it. I so get it.
And they said to me, you're going to come out of it a completely different person. I was like, okay, what does that mean? But it's hard to explain unless you've been through it.
Yeah. I actually just this week, all of my interviews had Joey McCune come on my podcast, the one who took me to Egypt. And we had this, the whole podcast was about that. And you really don't necessarily even know what you're signing up for when you go there, but it's meant for you. And you just have to trust that. And the first chapter of my book in the light work was the thing that I said when I came home, when people were like, how was it? I was like, I am new, you know? So I can see it in your field. You are new too.
Yeah.
I want to just double back to your business for a second because I'm super curious. So you have a big podcast. You've scaled your podcast to one of the top ranking shows in the spiritual space in the world. How did that, I mean, you've been at this game for 6 years and I just feel like whether you're listening and you want to start a podcast or not, just want to create community. I think there's strategy in the game of longevity, but if you could maybe decipher and crack the code for us and how you did that and what people can learn from that.
Great question. I would say first thing, and this applies to all aspects of life, is consistency. Mm-hmm. So with podcasting in the beginning, I started out biweekly. And I wasn't always consistent, but I tried. And then when I decided to go weekly, it was, all right, I'm going to hit this no matter what, even if it's just a short thing. It's not as much the quality of the content, although at the time, you know, I still had editors and things of that nature. It was really about consistency and making sure that you're showing up for people when they are expecting it, or especially as you're building community and people are, you know, want to lean on it. So that was the first thing. And I would say the second would be, for me, it was all about authenticity. And really honoring that within myself and then anyone else that was going to come on the show. So I think that if you're wanting to do a podcast about knitting or you're, and niche also helps. Yeah. There's a place for you. There's someone out there that wants that. And it's not something podcasting, I don't feel like there's very few people that are going to make money off of this, like the Joe Rogans.
Amen.
Or the Crime Junkies or whatever.
100%.
But what you, so if you have to really have a lot of passion for it. Absolutely. And I think, again, if you are authentic and then you have a passion for it and you're consistent, then that's going to shine through always. And the right people are going to reach you. The only reason that gave me the courage to do it is I said to my spirit team, no one's going to listen. Like my grandma, my mom, I'm not even going to listen. I don't like listening back to my own episodes. But when you feel that call and take those steps, that's when it all starts rolling.
I will just say thank you for that. Such beautiful advice. Like for podcasts as well as just universality on business and growing anything. I don't know what my world would look like without podcasting. Like ever since I started it, it just opened up an entirely new part of my world and community and reality, and has been soul fulfilling. And it is a ton of work and it takes a ton of time. And I pay for my podcast too. And it has enriched my business, but it has really enriched my life. We'll be right back.
Okay, sisters, truth bomb time. Your brain and your nervous system don't give a flying F about your goals, your dreams, or your next launch strategy. The only thing that they are seeking is familiarity. That's why healing and growth and expansion often feels like resistance. That's because it's unfamiliar. Microflow is here to change that. Founded by Christy Nault, a root cause health expert, Microflow blends psilocybin, yep, that's magic mushrooms, lion's mane, cacao, rose, and blue lotus into the cleanest microdosing supplements on the market. 100% organic, Reiki infused, and third-party lab tested. Now, these formulas, which I have been using for 3 years and have completely changed my life, are designed to quiet what Christy calls the default mode network, aka your brain's autopilot, and ignites what's called neurogenesis, helping your brain to build new pathways wired for vitality, trust, receptivity, courage, abundance, confidence, and connection. Whether you're addressing anxiety, which I've struggled with, ADHD, burnout, which I've struggled a lot with, or just want to feel more clear and in flow in your everyday life, Microflow is a nervous system resourcing tool that is safe for everyday life. Yes, even while parenting, working, driving, or even podcasting. Wink, wink. I want you to start with the Exude and Surrender bundle, which harmonizes your system to sync with your cycle and the lunar flow of the moon. And for somatic healing and deeper journeys, the Theta Blend supports breathwork, intimacy, and your spiritual practice. Now, if you are ready to upgrade the entire technology of your cells in your body and rewire your subconscious mind, go to microflowhealing.com, use code Jessica10 for $10 off of your order and receive access to Christy's free 2.5 hour magic mushroom microdosing masterclass. Yep, all my goodies just for you. That's microflowhealing.com and use Jessica10 to get $10 off of your order.
And I also feel like it's the best vehicle to meet people like you.
Thank you. I mean,
it's true.
That's how we met.
That's how I met Megan.
That's how I met you.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's all about community and connection.
And relationships that become mm-hmm. really real. Because if you think about it, where else in life do you sit down with someone you kind of don't know and have a real heart-to-heart, authentic, deep, vulnerable conversation for 45 minutes to an hour with no distractions? Like, we don't do that anymore. You know, you can't call up Marianne Williamson and be like, can I pick your brain for coffee? No, but I invited her onto my podcast and then she became a friend, right? Like, it's just magic. It's just magic. And the work that you are doing on your show is so needed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And same to you.
Thank you, babe. I have quick fire questions, but I don't want them to be quick fire for you.
Okay.
Because I don't think they are. And I kind of already know the answer.
All right. Let's go.
Let's go. Okay.
So I won't be quick.
But, you don't have to be.
Okay.
You don't have
if
to
it's
be.
A quick one, I'll give quick.
Yeah.
If not.
The first two are quick. The first one is quick. And then we can kind of dive in a little bit more, just out of my own curiosity. So the first question is, do you have a favorite spiritual book and a favorite business book?
I would say no, I don't. I have a favorite spiritual movie.
Cool.
Which, yeah. So I would say it's The Matrix.
100%.
I mean, if that could be a book, which there are very many books written about it, but that to me unlocks something. I saw that when I was a teenager and it was this unlocking of really awareness for me. If I had to pick a spiritual book, I would say the one that comes to mind that deeply changed me on an emotional level and understanding how to set more energetic boundaries and sever energy was The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. Mm-hmm. And I read that, reread that, recommended that to people. And I think it's a really easy one for people too that are maybe in their heads. Mm-hmm. And I don't have intuition. I don't have psychic abilities. How do I connect to the divine? That's a really good one to kind of edge in. So I would say that.
Beautiful. Okay. Second question. Great. We have like a spiritual hustler bookshelf that we added to. I know, like, it's so funny being you in this chair and asking these questions because I already know where you're going to go. But one of my questions is, do you have a specific angel, deity, guide, spirit master, goddess, archetype, ancestor, whatever that you work with, that you feel the closest to. And so for you, Nicole, with your counsel, you've mentioned Archangel Michael. I'm curious to know if there's another one or a few more that you feel specifically resonant with personally.
So Archangel Raphael,
okay,
they go hand in hand, Michael and Raphael. And I call them into everything in my life and every session and every part of my being, healing, protector. But the two new ones, Isis, for real, had such a connection in Egypt. And then Mary Magdalene's a new one.
Oh, girl, I've been on the Mary Magdalene train of recently as well.
Yes. And remember what we were talking about when certain ones step forward when you're going through something or you're ready to help others, or, and that came, they both came through really strongly in Egypt. And I was like, okay, cool. You're here. Let's do this. So it's new. I'm diving in with that.
That's amazing. They came through there for you. Wow. I just got the chills. Okay. The other question is, do you believe in aliens? Yes or no?
Well, yes.
I mean, I know this is the,
I've seen a ship.
What? Okay. This, so I want to know your, I love this question because most people, I've had one person in the entire Spiritual Hustler show say no. Most people, I've 99.9 say yes. And then we get to, like, I get to learn a little bit more about why, what, tell me what you've seen. Okay, let's start with the ship.
Yeah. Well, actually, they want me to say this real quick too. Just like there are celestial beings, of course, there's intergalactic beings. They're being very kind of honorary about that right now. But yeah, so I actually probably will be in like the small minority on your show, and that I don't really connect with extraterrestrials only because I love feeling more in the celestial space. Mm-hmm. And I think something happened when I was younger and I'm blocking it out, kind of thing. So there's that. But I will say that I was listening to Dolores Cannon, one of her audiobooks, when I was writing Looking for Angels, because my co-author and myself, Scott Guerin, were trying to decide, do we work aliens into this or not? And we thought it would just be too much. It would be like an encyclopedia of books. So we erred not to do that. But during my research, I was listening to Dolores Cannon. And one night I was sleeping. I was trying to fall asleep. And behind me, remember I was talking about energy and how you can scan it to see, what am I feeling emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually? I can also do that if something or someone's in the room. Like I'm feeling you as a human being right now and other things in the room too. And so as I'm falling asleep, I felt this energy behind me and I had this presence. And I thought, okay, it's not angelic. It's not human. It's not an animal. It's not insane. I'm going through the list. I'm like, it's not a demon. What the heck else is there? And then I was like, is it alien? Because I've been listening to Dolores right before I was about to fall asleep. And I heard, like, I saw a light bulb in my head and ding, ding, ding. And I jumped up out of bed because it felt very foreign to me because it hadn't been in my energy field. And so I said, you need to get out. Like, whatever. I didn't see anything, but I felt it. So I was like, you need to get out. And then the next morning, and it did. It, like, left right away. Next morning, I'm making coffee. And I'm thinking, I can gaslit myself. And I was like, was that real? That wasn't real. And then I thought, no, that was too intense for it to not be. And so I said out loud, okay, if you were in my room and you want to come and you want to have a conversation with me, you can come and we can have coffee and you can knock on the door and we can have a conversation. And then that next night, around 2 a.m. or something, I heard look outside, and I looked outside my window, and right by, like, cause my front bedroom window was right by my door. In between my two neighbors' houses was this like flashing ship. It was the weirdest ship though. I hadn't seen one before. It was like a pyramid on like a popsicle stick.
Wow.
And so I had a video I posted on social and everything, and I went out and I'm looking at it, and it stayed there for like 8 hours. And I'm checking like the apps just to make sure, you know, it's not anything, you know, in the sky that, because you have the apps that you can do that. Nothing was showing up. And so, yeah. And so then I thought, okay, that was my answer. They didn't knock on the door and they didn't come and have coffee with me. And so that to me proved free will.
Yes.
Because they were, I hear you. And when you're ready. So that's why I believe in aliens.
Damn. I love that story. I see. I knew my quick fires weren't going to be. I need to see that video later.
Yes.
Will you show it to me?
Yes.
Okay. Final question. Mm-hmm. I'm just so grateful you came. Let me just say that. Very, very, very cool to have you. Final question is, what does it mean to you to be a co-creator of the new earth?
What we were talking about before, and that is to help people know that they're not alone, that they're connected to the divine, and that one of the many ways is through better understanding how our energy shows up and works for us and through our intuition and psychic abilities, and it's not hard.
It's not hard. We'll leave them with that. That's so beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, it was
such an honor.
Honor's mine. Total gift, total blast. I am such a fascinated student of yours, and thank you for dropping all of your codes and illuminating me and my community today.
Thank you, Jess.